Well, 2 weeks ago, I was here on the 11th and shared a message that I called Stay Vertical and Stay Victorious. So tonight, you're getting Stay Vertical, Stay Victorious, part two. Amen. And I love how efficient the people are around here, because last week, or 2 weeks ago, when I shared, they had the usual pulpit up here, and the pastors use that pulpit. Well, that pulpit comes up to here on me, and I felt like a midget standing behind it, but it also served a purpose, because it was a way for me to say, okay, I am vertically challenged because I can't see that high. I'm 4'11", and they are so efficient. They went and they made sure that that was moved out, and I got my typical podium that I've used when I do healing class. And so I thank you guys. You're spectacular, really wonderful servants. So the message from 2 weeks ago, I understand, is on the website. There were some technical issues, but you can get to see that, so you would have a foundation of basically what I'm sharing tonight. In that message, Stay Vertical, okay, I mentioned I was challenged vertically because I'm short, but I am not challenged vertically in the spirit realm. I'm challenged in the natural realm, but not in the spirit realm. None of us have to be challenged in the spirit realm. Let's do a quick review of some scriptures and things that we talked about that last time, and then we're going to get into additional scriptures. But God wants us to walk in divine health. And everybody that knows me, know I love sharing about healing. That's the area that I am anointed in. And it's just important for us to constantly look to God for direction and know that He's our great physician. God wants us to walk in divine health on a daily basis, not just to go to Him to get healing for a condition that we're experiencing. Healing is a gift. And if you're currently dealing with something, He wants you healed and whole. He wants every aspect of your life to be in divine condition to be healed. He wants you to have a thorough healing all the way through. So we looked at scriptures last time. We talked about Jehovah Rapha. We looked at scriptures in the Old Testament. And the word Rapha is one of the names for God, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh. There's different names for Him. But the word Rapha itself means to repair, restore health, heal, mend, mix, and cure. And we in the body of Christ need to appropriate this healing, not only for ourselves, but for others as well. We have the authority and the power in the name of Jesus to go out and lay hands on the sick so that they will recover. The last time I spoke, I covered the four attributes of God, and the emphasis was on number four. I'll go over that quickly. First of all, God is omnipotent. He's almighty, infinite in power. He has unlimited authority and power. He's omniscient. That means He knows everything. Infinite knowledge. He knows the past, the present, and the future. So He definitely knows what you are going through. He's also omnipresent. God is present everywhere at the same time. So you are never alone. If you are experiencing loneliness, God is there. He's for you. He's with you. And then the fourth one that I want to emphasize is God is omniscient, O-M-N-I-F-I-C-E-N-T, which means He is all creative. He created all things, and He has power, the power of creation. And I parked here for a while last time. I'm going to go back there and add some additional things to it. But I want people to realize that our job is to acknowledge the awesome, powerful God that we serve. And so if you are facing a situation that you think is impossible, rethink what you're thinking. Look at the scriptures and acknowledge our God. It's so easy to look at the accomplishments of the medical world and think that they have all the answers, until we're confronted with an area that they can't fix. They can transplant an organ, but when our God gives you a new organ, you don't have to deal with the rejection issues. You don't have to deal with all the other things that come along with it. Our God will do and can do the impossible. If you don't hear about the awesomeness of God, you will never step out and believe for the impossible, because faith comes by hearing. And so when we hear over and over about the things of God, it's to increase our faith level. Raising the dead is no big deal for God. Didn't Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead? How about Jairus's daughter, the widow's only son? So he became the template for us. And I mentioned the last time was that Smith Wigglesworth, as we know, raised like 23 people from the dead. He used Jesus as his template, causing dead organs to come back to life, grow out a limb, open blind eyes, cure leprosy. The list is endless. And these are just a few of the things that our Jesus did and that we can still do today because of him. He is still the healer today. He's still the great physician. All he needs is for you and I to stay vertical to get the job done. Let's turn to Jeremiah 32:17, and I'm going to read it from the New King James Version. We didn't touch on this one last week, 2 weeks ago, actually. But Jeremiah 32:17 in New King James Version says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth. Be your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." Nothing too hard for our God. Do not limit God. Nothing is impossible for him. Luke 1:37 in the Amplified. All right. This is where the angel comes to Mary and talks about her being pregnant without having relations with her husband. She wasn't even married at the time. Okay. It says, Luke 1:37 in the Amplified, "For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." In Luke 18:27, Jesus himself responded and said, "What appears humanly impossible is more than possible with God, for God can do what man cannot." That's where our mindset needs to be. God can do what man can't do. And people are today going through some really challenging times between what's going on in the world, what's happening with the virus, what's happening in our country. There are challenging things, and we need to stay vertical. If we get caught up in the natural realm out here, our victory will not be at hand. So just take some of these scriptures and feed your spirit with them, especially when you've been challenged with something that you've had for several years. Sometimes people give up after a period of time. They get discouraged. They have been trusting and believing God, but all of a sudden they just say, you know what? It's been 5 years. It's been 8 years, 10 years. It's all right. I'm giving up. Don't do that. Don't do that. Our God is the God of impossibilities. And I shared the last time, and I'm repeating it because it's so important. The natural realm was established out of the spiritual realm. God spoke everything into existence from the spiritual realm. And we get to use the same technique, follow the same pattern as our Father God, and speak things out. Our faith is voice activated. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4. Last time we looked at verse 18. Today we're going to look at verse 17 and 18. I'm going to read it first from the New King James Version, then the NLT, and then the Passion. Verse 17. Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. Now, everybody, that in the Bible that Paul went through some horrific things, stoned, shipwrecked, all kinds of things that happened to him. And this is him sharing. He says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We do not look. Keep that phrase in mind. Do not look. Do not look at the things that are seen. Kind of sounds like, are you crazy? How do you not look at the things that are seen? But what we're talking about here is looking at the things in the spirit realm. They are real. New Living Translation. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. I can't see your faith. I can't see your salvation, but they will last forever. Things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So Paul's focus is on the future, and he's saying, don't get caught up in these things that are going on around you. He's saying, focus on the future, because that's where everything is, and that's what it's all about, is what's in the future. Let's look at the passion. Verse 17, we view our slight, short-lived troubles in the light of eternity. Paul's talking about all the things he went through as short-lived troubles. We see our difficulties as the substance that produces for us an eternal, weighty glory far beyond all comparison, because we don't focus our attention on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but the unseen realm is eternal. Now, the word look, that word means to keep one's eyes on. It means to consider or to contemplate. So I'm reminded of Abraham in Romans 4, because we know that, you know, Abraham was a man who, the Bible says, considered not his age, considered not his inability to have a child or the barrenness of Sarah's womb. That's in Romans 4. So Abraham considered not his own body nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. And Abraham is the father of faith. He's someone that we can use as an example. God told him, I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham. And he said, you're going to be the father of many nations. So think about that. He all of a sudden now is confronted with the reality in the natural realm. He's saying, you know, I don't have that ability. I can't do that. My wife has been barren and we don't have children. And he's saying, you know, I have to trust God. And he did. He considered not. He didn't look at the reality of things. He looked at the words that God shared with him. You are Abraham, the father of many nations. So he was not looking at the natural realm. And that's where we have to also go when we're confronted with situations. When we are thinking vertically, okay, we are thinking about the word of God, the promises that are available to us, and not horizontally, or you could say, we are not thinking carnally. Because when you are carnally minded, you are not in the spirit. And we're not going to go into Romans 8, but there's scriptures there that talk about, you know, carnally minded equates out to death. Spiritually minded is life and peace. But to be carnally minded, it means that you are out here in the natural. You're focusing on everything that's going on around you, and you're not staying focused on Jesus. Faith is not denial. Faith is denying the right of that which is contrary to God's will and word to continue. It is believing his word in spite of any contrary circumstance. Let me repeat that. Faith is not denial. We don't go around and say, okay, so-and-so broke their leg. It's not broken. No, that's right there. They broke their leg. We acknowledge that. But faith is denying the right of that which is contrary to God's will and word to continue. It is believing his word in spite of any contrary circumstance. And there are people today who are dealing with so many circumstances that are contrary to the word of God. So let's stop here for a minute and look at it from the perspective of what's going on. Any virus or variant of a virus is contrary to the will of God and the word of God. I deny it of any rights to affect my body. I deny the virus to have any rights to affect my body. I do that. And that's faith. We say, no, stop. You cannot. You cannot proceed. I deny you the right to affect my body. So faith is the bridge that allows what is in the spiritual realm to come over into the natural realm. It already exists in the spiritual realm. Everything we need already exists in the spiritual realm. Everything that's here in the natural came from the spiritual realm. So your healing was accomplished 2,000 years ago at the cross. Your supply already exists. Our job is simply to believe it. We talked the last time about the fact that, you know, all the things that are available to us in the spirit realm are obtained by faith. So faith is that bridge. I described it as a lasso that we throw out there into the spirit realm, wrap it around the item that you are believing God for, new job, new car, new home, healing, and you, by faith and your words, you pull that down into the earth so it manifests here in the natural realm. And that's the way we have to remember and realize everything that's in the natural realm started out in the spiritual. In spite of evil medical reports, financial challenges, a job loss, relationship issues, the list could go on and on. They are simply contrary circumstances. When the Word of God promises you something, it's available to you, and your job is to stay vertical and focused on God, because whatever it is that's a challenge is a contrary circumstance. I concluded the message the last time by reading Psalm 91 in the Passion Translation. And with all that's going on with the virus, etc., we need to grasp God's promises to us. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I just want to emphasize verses 3 to 11 in the Passion. God gave me some additional revelation regarding this psalm. Now, Psalm 91, as many know, is a psalm of protection. It's a psalm to pray for people that are in the military, when you're traveling, going on a mission trip. It's a psalm of protection. It's also a spiritual warfare psalm. So starting at verse 3, just now remember something. A trap is something you can't see. A trap is something you can't see. So listen to verse 3. He will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy. He will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy, and he will protect you from false accusation and any deadly curse. Now remember, Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. If you look in the Old Testament, you'll see that in Deuteronomy, God laid out the blessings and the curses. But we've been redeemed from the curses through Jesus Christ. Verse 4, his massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. You can run under his covering of majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness are a shield, keeping you from harm. Verse 5, you will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you. Let me say that again so we can focus on what God wants to say here. You will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night. So the implication here is that we have a choice. There's some people that are just, they worry about everything. God's saying here, you will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you. Don't fear a thing. Don't fear a thing. Whether by night or by day, demonic danger will not trouble you, nor will the powers of evil launched against you. Even in a time of disaster with thousands and thousands being killed, you will remain unscathed and unharmed. The King James says, 1,000 may fall at one side and 10,000 at the other, but it will not come near you. But think about it. There's people that are dying from the virus by the thousands all over the world. But God is saying it's not going to come near you. you will be unharmed. Verse 8, you will be a spectator as the wicked perish in judgment, for they will be paid back for what they have done. When we live our lives within the shadow of God Most High, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. Always shielded from harm. How then could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? Think about that. How then could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? This is a promise from God. So if fear and worry dominate you, then you're down here in the natural realm and you're carnally minded. Your mind is focused on the natural, and the result can end up being death. So this translation, as I said last time, points out some wonderful facets about that psalm. Don't consider the things in the natural realm. Don't consider the five senses, what you see, taste, feel, touch, or smell, because they are temporary. The things we can see are subject to change. They have to obey the words that we speak. We know that facts have to change as we continue to speak to them with the word of God. So my question to you tonight is, what are you speaking about regarding the things in your life that are challenges? Are you speaking to them with the word, or are you talking about them instead of talking to them? We looked at Hebrews 12. We're going to turn there, and I'm going to read it from the New King James and then the Passion. But Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Remember the word look? It means to consider, to contemplate. The author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now think for a minute. Jesus had every opportunity to get caught up in the natural and say, you know what? I don't want to go through this. He had every opportunity to walk away, but he didn't. He kept focused on the Father. He kept listening to what the Father said and told him to do. And that was his whole life down here. And that's how we know the heart of the Father. When we look at Jesus, Jesus is the example of the Father. That's how we get to know him, because Jesus obeyed. He listened and did everything the Father told him to do. So he had a chance to go vertical or to look and go horizontal. But he did not let the fear of what he was about to encounter turn him away from following the Lord. Listen to it in the Passion. As for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. The witnesses here are talking about the people that have gone before us. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon with passion and determination, for the path has been already marked out for us. Verse 2, we look away. We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus. We look away, we don't consider, we don't contemplate the natural realm, and we fasten our gaze on Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this: because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. Don't you love that? Just think that about that for a minute. Look away from the natural realm. His heart was focused on the fact that all of us were going to come into the kingdom. So he didn't look at all the torture and everything that he was going to go through. Imagine. He didn't have to, but he did. He went through torture, crucifixion for us. So he already set the template for us there. We look away from that natural realm. We fasten our gaze onto Jesus. He had to do it. We need to do it. Your responsibility is to stay vertical, looking unto Jesus and laying aside every weight. It is impossible to run your race way down with the things of the world. Letting go of every wound means you decide to forgive those who have done you wrong. Letting go of every wound means you decide to forgive those who have done you wrong. Many times people are not aware of the fact that something has happened and somebody did something wrong, or you may have done something wrong and you can't forgive yourself. A root of bitterness can start and continue and move on until you are now experiencing a medical condition, a disease that could end up taking your life. Make sure that you are forgiving anyone who has done you wrong so that you don't find yourself in that situation. Now, we're going to talk in a few minutes about some scripture, but I'm just going to announce to you that I hate snakes. I hate snakes. I hate snakes. Don't know if anybody else feels like I do, but we'll get there in a minute. I just want you to know, I hate snakes. So let's turn to Matthew 6, 25, 34. Stay with me because we'll eventually explain that part about the snakes. In Matthew 6, 25, 34, we're going to read only from the Passion, just simply for sake of time. And if you have a Bible, that is Jesus speaking to you. So it's probably in red. The words of Jesus are in red. Now, in the Passion, there's a caption over that area, and it says, "Don't worry." In the Passion, "Don't worry." And it says, this is Jesus speaking. "This is why I tell you to never be worried about your life." Didn't we just read in Psalm 91, "You will never worry"? Praise God. He says, "I tell you to never be worried about your life, for all that you need will be provided, such as food, water, clothing, everything your body needs. Isn't there more to your life than a meal? Isn't your body more than clothing? Look at all the birds. Do you think they worry about their existence? They don't plant or reap or store up food, yet your heavenly Father provides them each with food. Aren't you much more valuable to your Father than they? So which one of you, by worrying, could add anything to your life? And why would you worry about your clothing? Look at all the beautiful flowers of the field. They don't work or toil, and yet not even Solomon in all his splendor was robed in beauty more than one of these. So if God has clothed the meadow with hay, which is here for such a short time, and then dried up and burned, won't he provide for you the clothes you need, even though you live with such little faith? So then, forsake your worries." Again, the emphasis is on you do it. You do it. You forsake your worries. "Why would you say, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For that is what the unbelievers chase after. Doesn't your heavenly Father already know the things your bodies require? So above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom." Constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him, then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Refuse to worry about tomorrow. Again, the choice is yours. Refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself. So staying vertical can seem difficult and challenging, yet it is possible and essential to walk in victory. When you are being bombarded by the news and things going on around you that are negative and are not focused on the spiritual realm, sometimes you have to walk away and get vertical with Jesus. Quarantine yourself from the world. quarantine yourself from the world, and that includes your electronic devices. Stop and evaluate sometimes the amount of time that you're spending, whether it's in front of a TV, on your devices, listening to things that are contrary to the word, and evaluate where you are at spiritually. Jesus is clearly telling us to think less about the natural and more about the spiritual realm. It's very evident. These are his words. He's telling us, forsake your worries, never be worried about your life. So, I hate snakes. All right, we're going to look at something in the Old Testament because we can learn from the Old Testament. We saw so many things that the Israelites did that caused disasters for them, and we can learn not to do those things. So let's turn to Numbers 21, and we're going to read verses 4 to 9. Now, I said I hate snakes. I think you got the message. And the only thing I can think of why I feel that way is because it was the serpent who's the great deceiver and deceived Eve in the garden. But just a little side note, in Genesis 3:14, the Lord turned first to the serpent and brought his judgment upon the serpent. God did not excuse the woman, didn't she? He didn't excuse Eve because she was deceived, but he did bring the harsher judgment on the one who deceived her. So just a word to those out there that if you are living in a situation and you are intentionally deceiving somebody, I don't know who it's for, but if that's the case in your life, there is a harsher judgment that can happen to you if you don't repent and get it straightened out. The serpent became a creature that slithers on the ground and appears to eat dust. This implies that before this, the serpent had some other bodily form. Now, just the thoughts of a standing serpent, I'm thinking of like a cobra or some other rattlesnake or whatever, standing, that still turns me off. I still hate snakes. But in Numbers 21, 4 to 9, I'm going to read it in the New King James, and it says, then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. There's a lot of discouraged people out there, folks. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear that God can do the impossible. They need to hear that God's their healer, that he cares. The people became very discouraged on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. Talking about the manna. So the Lord allowed, he sent fiery serpents. He allowed it. He sent this fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. Everyone who's bitten, when he looks at the pole, when they go vertical, when they look to God, okay? So Moses, I'm sorry, when they look at the serpent, they shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. When he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now, this story, probably because I hate snakes, okay? But think about this. You have serpents all around you. They're biting people, and people are dying. You and your family are in the middle of this. What do you do? Now, you're required to look at the pole. We're required to look at the pole. You cannot do both. If you look down here and you're looking at the serpents, okay, you'll die. But God is saying, look at the pole and live. All this is going on around you. The answer is, choose the one that brings life. So God put before them life and death, but looking at the pole would bring life. They can't do both. And we can't either, folks. We can't expect that hanging out in the natural realm, hanging out with the world, and not focusing on the Lord is going to bring us victory or answers when we're confronted with challenges. In the New Testament, Jesus was the one lifted up on the cross. Amen. And in the Old Testament, back in Deuteronomy, as you know, the Lord said to the Israelites, here's your blessings and here's your curses. Here's life and here's death. Choose life. Let's look at John 3, verses 14 to 15. And I'm going to look at that in the Passion. Jesus was the one that was lifted up on the cross for us. Verse 14 and 15 in the Passion. And just as Moses in the desert lifted up the brass replica of a snake on a pole for all the people to see and be healed, so the Son of Man is ready to be lifted up, this is Jesus saying, so that those who truly believe in him will not perish, but be given eternal life. The brass snake was an emblem of sin and disease. All of humanity has sin in them from birth. But Jesus was raised up on a cross for all people to see. We only need to look, consider, and contemplate him and believe. And we are healed and saved from sin. So remember that he also took all sickness and disease on himself. So when we stay vertical, and we look at Jesus and we look at the promises of God, we don't go into the carnal realm. We stay in the spiritual realm. And one of the greatest ways to stay in the spiritual realm is to stay prayed up by praying in the Holy Ghost. Because there's things we don't know what to pray about. We don't know how to pray for things that are complex, challenging, and we don't have an answer. But if we pray in the Holy Spirit, we are praying God's perfect will. That's such an awesome privilege for Christians. Think about it. I get to pray God's perfect will in a situation that I have absolutely no idea where it should go or how it should turn out. Some things we don't know, but if we pray in the Holy Spirit, in our heavenly prayer language, when we pray in the Spirit, we are praying God's perfect will. That's from Romans 8. You can look that up if you want to. We always pray God's perfect will when we pray in the Holy Spirit. So please remember that when you talk about the things going on in the world today that are caused by Satan, John 10:10 is very clear. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. When you talk about those things, please don't forget to talk about the fact that Jesus defeated the devil. People talk about all that's going on. We get wrapped up in the things of the news. Jesus has defeated the devil. It's already been done. He defeated the devil at Calvary. You can talk about what's going on in the world, but remember to talk about the fact that Jesus defeated him. It is already done. When Jesus said, "It is finished," it was finished. Brag on Jesus and stay vertical with your words and remind Satan that he has no power and no authority over you. So once again, we will see the victory when we stay vertical and focused on Jesus. It's all laid out for us in the scripture. Jesus himself was the template. He himself always listened to the Father and obeyed and did what the Father told him to say and to do. Amen. So in closing, there may be people out there that don't know what their eternity is. They don't know that if they died in their sleep tonight, whether or not they would go to heaven or hell. But we'd like to give you that opportunity tonight to know for sure that if you were to die in your sleep and you pray this prayer, you would have eternal life with Jesus Christ. Because that's what you can't see, but that's what we need to look at, and that's what's important, is what's in the spirit realm. So the scripture tells us that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we will be saved, and if we believe it in our heart, we will be saved. And so if you pray this simple prayer and repeat after me, you can know for a certainty that you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It is not about religion. You cannot earn your way to heaven. There's nothing that you could do. There's not enough that you can do to get your way into heaven. And on the other side of the coin, if you are somebody that has lived for the devil and has done so many things wrong, God's love is so awesome and so phenomenal that you can be forgiven and still get into heaven. And that's the beauty of our God, who is love. He covers every spectrum of life for everybody. So just say these words after me. Say, "Dear God, I believe that you are God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried. And I believe that he rose on the third day. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior and Lord, and take over my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I thank you that I now have eternal life." That simple prayer just changed your spirit from one that was dead to one that is alive unto Christ. Jesus now resides in you, and you have eternal life with him. So if you did that tonight, and we'd love to hear from you, we'd love to send you some free material. So on the screen, they're going to put up some information, how you can contact us, whether by mail or by email or by phone. And so if you did pray that, we would love to hear from you and send you some information to get started, because it's like bringing home the baby from the hospital. You now have a new life, a new relationship, and a new start in what God has for you and wants for you. So we thank you that those of you that did will reach out to us in Jesus' name.